The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is streaming, and this is the beauty of it. Streaming. Radio 24/7. And I mean, we are radio. One of the beautiful things I love about all this that's going on here, by the way, I have our good friend Carmen Caputo on here, who's on here with us every month. And Carmen tells me it's an honor because he doesn't understand why he's on here, but it's my honor to have him on. I'll give you a little bit about him shortly, but I will tell you this. He turned 71 a few weeks ago, and to have a guy here, this is what I keep saying to everybody. These gentlemen, and if we have ladies that are on there, you're welcome here, too, to tell your story. I haven't had one in those age groups at all. Bill Hinburn, Carmen, they're all over the place here. Dr. William Wong, I mean, we've got some people that have been around, but you know what? I can't find this kind of stuff anywhere. I mean, the point of the matter is this. You have to be in this game a long time to earn the stripes they've gotten. I'm not even close, but I got to tell you, they bring experience here that none of us have. We might have done some stuff, but it's not only that. It's just the mental thing, man. These gentlemen have survived decades. I don't know. Will we? I guess we're going to find out. I plan on 30 years. We've got 28 to go. We were just about ready to celebrate year two. Let's see if we go through 28. I hope we all do. It'll be very interesting just to see what I sound like in 28 years. It'll be great. But go out to motivationmuscle.com. The top 10 ways to build mind and muscle in our new Power Month 30-day program for strength and power. They are both free ebooks. Wait till you see what I did to the top 10. There's 10 paragraphs, but each paragraph has 5 really good bullet points. And if you're really into building some power and it's something that you can use this program forever, just adding whatever you want onto it, you're going to get exposure to the power rack for the squat and the bench press. And in the middle of the week, you're going to be doing some really nasty sandbag lifting. And this alone, with those other two movements, will change you like you've never felt before. So go out there, give us your email address, and you've got them. Also, too, they're free right now. Strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. All I can tell you is those are some killer programs for nothing. You can download those, too. We want more and more people to come in here. Give us your name. We want to build our list so we increase the size of our family constantly. That's all I can tell you. That's what it's all about. Eventually, they are going to be pay again. But right now, we feel that this is a time to spread the word, spread everything we do here. And as I always say, we do everything here. No one writes our material and no one does our training. And next weekend, we are going to start filming quite a bit. And you're going to get to see some of the things I'm doing, some of the other things Alex and Dennis are doing, which we've never filmed before. And you're going to probably see some wrinkles you might not have seen before. So stay tuned for all that. We'll be putting those out on our YouTube channel, obviously. Motivation and Muscle. .com/category/podcast. Go out and look at all the shows that Carmen and I have done. I just put one up recently, our last show called Training Adjustments. Exceptional show. And Carmen gives examples. I got it.
There you go.
Of a guy that's been training for 50 plus years.
57.
Wolf. 57 years, and telling you basically what it is, how you adjust, how you train, how you recover. I mean, who puts stuff like that out? Nobody I know of. So you got to check that out. But as I said, our good friend Carmen Caputo's on today. And I'm going to give you a little information about this gentleman. Number one, Carmen is a U.S. Marine veteran. He's a retired school teacher. I got it right here. I shouldn't. Well, now we're 57. I've been putting 56, so now I have to change that. And he's a champion weightlifter for 57 years. We're going to talk about a real interesting subject today because I think, you know, Carmen's been doing it 57 years. Where do you get the fire in the belly to do all this? Carmen, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you. After that lead-in, I don't feel qualified, man. You know, you naming names, and I look up to those people, and here I am, just an old fart sitting in his house, you know, and I'm amazed that you keep having me back, and I appreciate it, and I'm honored, and I hope that the information I'm given is not leading people astray, you know?
No, not at all. And as I said, you always got a place at our table.
Yeah,
that's
you.
Not going to be a question. Besides that, you're a fellow Paisan,
hey,
so that,
right.
that carries weight with me.
That's
the thing. So if anything, always remember that. Oh. If you sit there and say, Jesus, I don't know why he's letting me on here, at least think about, you know, the macaroni and meatballs, all right? That's what we want. Is there anything else you want to give out? You got any updates on your gang that you're training and they are training with you? Or
I turned 71 3 weeks ago, and I had set a goal for myself. I wanted to deadlift 470, and I came close. I didn't quite hit it.
Yep.
I developed a little bit of arthritis in both hips, and I've got to work around it. But I pulled 450. So
awesome.
You know, and I think that video, I put that video up on Facebook, and you've probably seen it.
Yeah, I saw it.
And so, you know, I just keep plugging, man. Like you said, the fire in the belly. And I saw a picture a while ago, and I thought, man, this just sums it all up. And there's a picture of this guy. There's a sketch of this guy confronting a deadlift bar. He's standing there, and it says, when you think about quitting –
yep.
Remember why you started. And then the inside of the picture is this little skinny kid.
Yep.
And that's what motivates me. You know, I mean, truly, I started this when I was 15 years old. Okay. Almost 15.
Yep.
I was 6 months shy of 15 when I started lifting in March of 1960. And I truly was that guy that was on the back of the comics with Charles Atlas. I was 5'8", and I weighed 100 pounds, and I got tired of getting hung in my wall locker in high school, you know. And I said, this crap's got to stop, man.
Yeah.
So I campaigned with the old man to buy me some weights, and he relented finally. And when they arrived in March of 60, that I was telling this to somebody yesterday. They asked me how I got started. And I said, well, when I unpacked the weights, that York Big 12 special, and I grabbed that bar, I instantly knew this is a lifetime commitment here, you know.
Yep.
And it's all about what motivates you, you know. I mean, and I tell people all the time, people find time to do what they want to do. You want to sit on your butt and eat crackers and watch a movie on TV, you find that time, don't you? If you want to go to the show with your date or your wife, you log that time in. I particularly like putting 2 hours a day in my gym here at home, and I make sure that happens, you know, and I do it first thing in the morning, and then the rest of the day is mine, and I've got some people that come by in the afternoon after work, and I'm able to go out and help them, you know. Being retired is nice. I understand that I have things going for me that a lot of people who are listening don't, you know.
Yep.
But I also understand that when I was working, I still made the time. I would come home, and I would work out before we ate dinner.
Yeah.
That helped me relieve the stress of the classroom. And you talking about job stress, you lock a grown man in a room with 25, 12-year-olds, at the end of the day, you know.
Yeah, I know. let me put something to you quick before you finish your point. Both my sister and brother-in-law are teachers.
Well, you know my pain. You feel my pain then, right?
Yeah, and here, we got talking one night because you know, they knew, and other people made comments how good I am as a teacher with kids, right? Yeah. And especially the nieces and nephews. I mean, you know, I've got them lifting bricks and running and all that kind of stuff. Same way here. And my brother-in-law says, you know, you'd be a hell of a teacher. And my sister said, yeah, he'd be a hell of a teacher, but he'd be out of a job quick.
Right.
And my brother-in-law was like, why? She goes, he won't take shit from anybody.
That's the thing, you know.
Yeah. He put him through a wall, she said. Yeah. Yeah. Yep,
but,
that's it.
But honestly,
so,
though, you know, I mean, I taught sixth grade for 30 years. And
God bless.
I wouldn't trade a minute of that. I really wouldn't. In fact, I've got former students who are now training with me. You know, they come by the house two or three times a week, and we deadlift Saturdays, and Saturdays is a family reunion because I've got blood family that's married into the family, and then students and their kids, you know, and it's just, it's an amazing circle of people. It truly is. And I just have been very, very blessed in my life to have this. And of course, none of it works without the support of my wife. You know, we've been together 39 years married, and this is all possible because of Janie, and I just cannot say enough about that. You know, I put something up on Facebook the other day, and my cousin, who's still back in New York, said, I just love the way you talk about your wife, you know. And I said, well, Marie, you got to understand, when she came into my life, I was in a very, very dark spot, and she basically saved my old ass, and I cannot forget. I don't, you know, I'm Italian, Eric. I don't forget.
I know,
you know
that.
What I'm saying?
You got that. You got that elephant brain that you never forget. That's like me. It's like
and I don't forget the bad stuff, you know. But
And you shouldn't, because you know what?
Right. That's what fuels you.
It fuels you, and you know what? I love that word, loyalty.
That's right.
And if you don't have loyalty, you might as well pack it in, because you know what? You're no better than a bag of crackers.
That's exactly
like you're talking about.
Well, you know, the Marine Corps' motto was "Semper Fidelis," always faithful.
Absolutely.
And I am that way. I'm double. I'm Italian and I'm a Marine, you know.
Well, that too. And you know what, Carmen, the thing is, you know, I've said to you on other shows, I've said to other people, you know, look, I'm not going to get into the political aspects of anything, because I think the majority of the shit's bullshit, to be honest with you. I don't like what I see going on, especially right now. I've heard from multiple people that loyalty is pretty much a thing of the past. I've heard that, why do you waste your time on this one or that one? Or maybe you ought to give up what you're doing. You tore a bicep. Or why are you outside 20 below and you're freezing the things, and yet you still go out? And I'm going to tell you a big thing. That's what we're talking about, fire in the belly. Things I believe... things that I grew up with, mainly being brought up by two of the best parents a guy could ever have. They had their faults. I had mine, believe me. We had clashes. We had great times. The whole thing. That's how family is, all right? If you're a genuine family, you know, none of this made-up shit out there where you can't yell at anybody or you can't tell them they're this or that because you're going to destroy their psyche. I got news for you. If a few words in a good critical sense destroy what you are, you're not much of anything anyways. Human beings now are held up in a way where we're all delicate little angels. Don't be harsh. Don't do anything that's going to cause pain. You know, always be agreeable. Well, you know what? You'd be better off. Fuck. Whoops, excuse me. I'm getting pissed now. You'd be better off throwing me off a... thousand-foot bridge, because that's going to be what I'm going to be worth to you after that. I like toughness. I love gentleness, because when you're tough and you're confident in yourself, you don't have to be a brute to people. But here's the thing. As I talk about my chiropractor, John Ridge, at the end of every show, who we lost to cancer a couple years ago, to me, he was one of the epitomes of a man. And I'll explain it quick, and we'll get right back to you. John was a man's man, and by that I mean he was as manly as I know manly could be. Not a weightlifter, hunter, you know, things of the older school. Right. You know, loved gardening, all the trade stuff that seems like society doesn't want around anymore because it's too damn hard. And, you know, he'd walk every patient in the door and say, keep smiling, which are two of the greatest words I can think of right now. Unbelievable, those two words. You will change. I'm telling you, you will smile, too, when you say it. And the thing was, in his gentleness, he was somebody that you don't want to screw with, man. He was one of, you know, we meet men like that all the time. They're very gentlemen, and I mean that in a solid, positive way. But they can give you a look or shoot you something across the room with a look, and it'll freeze you. Because you're like, what is he going to do here, all right? That's what I always admired so much about John, and we could talk, disagree, leave, and still be friends for the day. John was very much a father figure to me in a lot of ways because my dad was no longer here. Someone that really cared about people, man, and I mean really cared about people, and lived his life with his wife, and he had three kids. And of course, they're all grown and gone. And he, you know, he had another house down, and they call it, you probably heard of Castleton. That's where he lived. But I admired him. You know, if you're going to base him off how many millions did he make, he didn't. But he was worth millions, and I mean, in a way where I admired not only what he did, but the freedom he built for himself. Man, he could call his own shots. How many people get to call their own shots? So. You know, when we talk about fire, man, this guy had fire. You know, I've been very fortunate to have people in my life, you know, that were of that ilk. And it's, I get very bothered. Sometimes I get sad about it in some ways. It's like, I'll say to myself, I know they're out there. Where are all the men?
Yeah.
Where are all the men? Where'd they all go? Are they all pot-bellied and bald and they stand behind their wife? Who's calling the shots for you? What are you doing? You know, what is your role in life, your family's life? Where did you go? And I see it all over the place, and it's like, docile to me is going to get your head exploded on top of your shoulders right off it. You can be a gentleman, you can be a strong man, but boy, oh boy, if people are depending on you and you have to lead, as my pop would always have said, we're in hurting condition right now, and this is why we're doing a show like this today with a gentleman that's 71 years young, but yet still has a heart of a teenager. So go ahead and take it, boss.
Well, thank you for that, and I try that. You know, I think a big thing for me is that everybody who comes and trains with me is much, much younger than I am, you know, and just because you are a certain age, 40, 50, 60, and in my case, 70, it doesn't mean you got to pack it in and sit on the couch and just waste away and go, oh, woe is me. Because you know what? I hurt when I was 30. I hurt when I was 40. I hurt when I was 50. I hurt when I was 60. And I'm 71, and I'm still friggin' hurting, but I'm still lifting, you know? And it's just you either control your environment or you let your environment control you. And I'll be a son of a gun if I'm going to let my environment control me. I will never surrender. I will die fighting. I will, you know, we're all going to die, but I'm going to die healthy, and I'm going to be strong, you know. And that was my goal when I started. I wanted to become as strong as I possibly could. I never was a world beater. I never was an Olympian. But in my little circle, in my town, I'm one of the strongest people, and that makes me feel good. My mission was to just be as strong as I could be, as long as I could be. And I'm still able to stand there with some of these young kids and make them say, geez, that old guy just kicked my ass.
Yeah.
And it just.
but it's important, man.
They tell
it's
that.
You're leading by example every time you step on a platform.
Exactly. And that was what the Marine Corps taught me. You lead from the front. You don't sit in the back and say, go do this. Here, this is what I want you to do. Go do it. You get out there and say, this is how it's supposed to be done. Watch this. Then you step up and you do it, and then you turn it over to the young guy and say, okay, I'm turning the reins over to you because at some point I'm not going to be here, and you need to take over. And that's how this sport especially is passed on. And what bothers me with Facebook, I've seen not just Facebook, but just social media, its whole self. there are people putting stuff up, showing them, quote unquote, lifting or training. And I'm wondering who in the world taught you, because you're going to kill yourself, you know, and they don't respect their body.
Nope.
What's even worse to me is they don't respect the equipment of the gym that they're in. They're throwing crap around. They leave stuff on the floor. It's dangerous. That doesn't fly in my place. You use something, by God, it goes back where you found it. If it doesn't, you don't come back, you know.
Well, you know what? You know what I've been doing? The two guys here now, and there's a few more that want to come here, and I've decided the only way I'm going to be able to do this is I'm going to have them all come on one day. That
right.
would mean they're pretty much regimented to doing all the same stuff together, whether we have to lighten it up for the new people and go like that. But the two people that are here now are going to have to take more of a leading role with everything. But here's something interesting.
In leadership, they're the guys that have been there. It's just like on a football team. Your juniors and seniors should be your leaders. If they're not, you're going to have a crummy team, you know. And the people who've got the most time in the gym, the experience, who know the drill, they're supposed to pass that information along, you know. And that, when on Saturdays when we do a mass deadlift session, I've got people from 14 up to 71, male and female, various levels of strength, but we load and unload the bar according to what's needed. And the new guys learn from watching the old. They're spurred on. And I'll tell you, this old man gets fired up watching these kids lift, because I'm thinking, God dang, they're going to catch me. I better kick it in.
Well, you know, not only that, it's like
house, you know.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. But, you know, like when you're talking about throwing stuff around and this and that, my place is small, but it's loaded. And, you know, they've been getting in some trouble. They lost something in there, and I still haven't been able to find it. So the new thing is now grab a 25-pound plate and start walking up and down the street till I call you. Well, I found a thing this morning that goes with my Viking press that I always keep right on top of the keg.
Right.
It doesn't move. Well, it was laying on the floor today when I went out to start lunch, and I was like, well, they don't know yet, but come this coming Saturday, guess what they're going to do before we start anything? They're going to grab a 25-pound plate and walk the length of my street until I call them. And you know what? They're either going to learn or they're going to leave.
Right.
That's the way it's going to be. I don't have time for that bullshit, nor am I going to deal with that bullshit. Because they've been told, you know, if I ever see you take and dump a bar on, off one side, you're finished here. Anything like that. Because I used to see people when I was at a pretty nasty commercial gym at one time do things like that, or just leave your plates in a pile. You know, if that was my place, you get one warning. The next time you're out, and you'll get your refund, but don't ever come back again.
It's not safe.
It's not safe, and what are you teaching the people that are coming in there that don't have a lot of experience? All right, you can go into my gym and do whatever the hell you want?
Yep.
No. Nope. And you know something? Courtesy and the idea that you understand what's going on here is vital to everyone's survival.
Right.
And if you can't do that and you abuse my equipment or my platforms or whatever we've got here, it's just time for you to leave. Just because you pay a gym fee every year doesn't give you the right to do anything. And this is where we're lacking in so many things. It's not only your mannerisms, How you conduct yourself out in public, because that is public. I mean, it's a gym, so what? But you are out in the public. And not only that, where the hell are your manners? You know, as my mother would say to us, what'd you do, grow up in a barn?
You go into somebody's kitchen.
Yeah.
And just do stuff and leave with dirty dishes on the table, on the counter. And, you know, if you did, you could expect somebody come chasing after you, grab you by the ear hole and pull you back in and say, clean up your crap.
It's
the same thing in the gym. I tell these guys, I said, anybody's welcome. Anybody is welcome. Everything in here I've acquired over a long, long time. I don't charge anybody money for coming and lift. All they got, the only thing I expect from them is they bust their ass. They don't slack off. But I also expect, and I tell them when the first time they're there, I said, see how the room is? when you leave, if I'm not here, you leave, it better look just like this, because if I come out and it's not, you ain't coming back.
Yeah, that's exactly.
It's that simple, yeah. You know, and I don't have malice towards anybody. I don't care if you're male or female, old or young, in between, red, white, black, or yellow. If you want to lift, prove me that you're strong and you've got dedication, Eric. Dedication is what, there's where the fire in the belly is from. Are you going to dedicate to yourself and to your goal? Or are you going to dedicate for 10 days and say, oh, screw this, it's too hard, I'm quitting? If you do that, then you're a quitter. You're not in it for in lifting, as you very well know, lifting is a process. It's not a 50-yard dash. It's more like a marathon. You've got to pay your dues, baby steps, before you get to where you are. It's that simple. You have to get, you know, have a goal. I've said this every show. Have a goal. Write a plan for that goal. And then bust your ass on that plan, and you will reach your goal.
Oh, yeah. But you know what the problem is? I see this all the time. There's a lot of people that talk a good game.
Yeah.
But when you start laying the brass tacks down, suddenly it gets very quiet out there. And I used to probably be a little bit more easier going on it before, but with the pressures of the business, the pressures to survive, the pressures of myself to get ready because I want to go do 3 multiple stone tours next year, I've got quite a bit on myself. Now, I've put it on myself, right. but here's the big but. I'm not going to sit around anymore and wait for somebody to get off their thumb, okay? Right. You know something? There's many places you can go and train. The door's wide open for you, but it's not going to be the excuse counter here or anything like that. Now, look, if there's a legitimate problem, I'm not adverse to anything. Right. But I don't want you to come here and think you're going to cry on my shoulder and I'm going to let up on you. Now, those guys don't know unless they hear this show, listen to this show when I put it up by the end of the week. Then they're going to know they're going to walk, but otherwise they're going to get a king size surprise
that's,
come Saturday,
that's
right?
Kind of stuff I love. You know, you just walk in. What's today, Coach? Well, you're going to get your beans busted for the day.
Yep. That's and you know what?
Number one, you know.
Well, you know what it's going to be, and you know what the good thing is about? Eventually, they stay with me. They're going to really appreciate it. They're going to say, you know what? That guy was doing me right all the time. Why? Because he was creating discipline, because he was teaching me that you need to respect people's property and themselves. And it's a reflection on them that they don't respect themselves and they're just leaving shit laying on the floor. Because my buddy, his son Alex is here. Alex isn't like that. And it's like, I don't see that happening at the house. And if it is, I'm sure he's getting his head chewed off. Right. And you know what? Look it. I hear this constantly. Well, you know, they're teenagers. Well, I've got guys here that are in their 30s and 40s, and they're the same way. So don't give me the teenager crap, all right?
Eric, I joined the Marine Corps at 17.
Yep.
At age 18, I was carrying a fully automatic M60 machine gun. I was a teenager. And with that comes discipline and responsibility and respect. I couldn't vote. I couldn't buy alcohol legally. But by God, I was carrying a fully automatic weapon.
I know, and you're walking around with it. So you know, it's
I don't buy that stuff. You know, well, they're just young. Everybody was young at some point. You said 2 key words: discipline and respect. If you have discipline, you will have respect. If you have respect, you will have discipline. They go hand in hand. It's like putting a glove on that's custom made for your hand. You can't have one without the other. If you're disciplined in your routine, you will respect the environment you're in. And it's that simple. If you have the desire to achieve something, you will find a way. That fire in the belly, you know, and it's just, I tell my guys, okay, you're a nice young lady, you're a fine kid, you're a good man, you got a wife, a family, you take care of your stuff, you're a good man, but when you step on that platform and that bar is sitting there, and it's looking at you, and you're looking at it, you have got to transform yourself into the baddest ass that ever walked. And you get yourself whipped into a frenzy, you make the lift, you put it down, and the minute you step off, you go back to being a good guy. And the problem I see with some of the videos on Facebook and stuff, there are people who think they've got to be a jerk all the time. They do lift and then they throw crap around the gym and they're swearing and hollering at people. And I'm thinking, see, I'm more impressed by the fact if you can lift this weight, not by how your behavior is, you know. And I mean, I get amped up. A few weeks, well, a couple of months ago, the guys came in on Saturday and I was foaming at the mouth and they said, who got in your chili? And I said, look, I'm too old for games, okay?
Yeah.
But I had seen something on Facebook, and I'm too old for this crap, Eric. But some guy got into my chili on Facebook talking about he had done this, that, and the other thing, and he had done a set of five with 405, okay?
Yeah.
But he had straps. He had had straps. He did not grab the freaking bar with his bare hands. And said, I need somebody to shoot some video here. And they said, oh, crap, it's going to be that kind of day. And I said, well, it is going to be for me.
absolutely.
You know? So I did the warm-ups and stuff, and I put 405 on there, and I chalked up, no belt, no straps, and I did a set of seven with it. And I said, if you want it bad enough, you will find a way. Now, I'm not saying I didn't whine and cry Saturday evening. Mama was in the house and said, you going to be all right? And I said, yeah.
Jeez, man. Yeah, I know.
What you got to do. And I will just, I don't know. Most of the time, I'm a pretty laid back guy. You know, like I said, I'm 71. I don't need confrontation. But if you cross the line with me, you're going to get 212 pounds of irate Italian. That's just the bottom line.
Yeah, and not only that, man, you know, you've been around a long time. You know, it's good to see you get feisty and pissed like that, because that definitely tells you you're on the right track.
Sure.
Look, I'll tell you right now, I have to deal with that stuff with business. But I go out and, you know, look, Carmen, if we were standing or sitting having a beer or something together, and we might be tossing around some swearing and stuff like that, but that's a different scoop,
exactly.
You know, if you're away from people and, you know,
exactly.
But normally I wouldn't do that in front of a group of people, let alone my nieces and nephews around me. But everything out there, man, there's guys, every other word is F.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you trying to impress upon me here? All right. Because after about the fourth F, I'm done reading anymore. Okay. I don't need to hear that crap. Same way with the girls. Love girls. But how many girls I need to see their, yoga pants down in the middle of, you know, where, and don't tell me you're not filming downward when I can see everything you got on top through your shirt,
right.
Okay? Look, you got a right to do it. I really don't care what you do. It's none of my business. But, you know, not everybody out there is going to go chasing after you, or not everybody out there is going to sit and read your bullshit because they don't want to hear every other word, man. You know, I think, especially with the show, we get going sometimes, and then we cool out, because my whole premise is with what I'm on now, they start getting complaints about language here, they could shut me down with a lot of things, which I don't want to do at all. And I was saying to some of the guys, I was like, you know what? We can be damn aggressive and not have to be hitting language every 10th word, all right? And they're like, yeah, we got it. I was like, because we could be the new norm of pure aggression without four letters following everything.
Right.
So, look, we don't do anything here to get that type of attention. It's just a lot of the guys here are very passionate, and at times, you know, we get ourselves back and forth so fired up that this stuff happens. I really got no problem with that. But if you're trying to make points by doing things like that, you've lost me if you give a shit.
Well, exactly. You know, and the other thing, why I like training at home, and it does keep the fire going in me, is that I have to look in the mirror every evening before I go to bed. And when I see that guy looking back at me, if I can say to him, did you give your best today? Did you do your best in the gym? Did you do your best with your wife? Did you do your best with your friends and family? Or did you cut yourself short? If I can say, yes, I gave it my 100%, or no, I kind of slacked off, then I need to step up my game. That's how you keep that fire going, is just, it comes from your own self-discipline, your own attitude. Are you going to be happy settling for less than your best? If you are, then you're never going to achieve what you want. And everybody's got excuses, you know? I mean, and I keep these guys that I train with, they say, are you going to play the age card? And I say, damn right I am. I've earned it, you know?
But yeah.
I'm not.
Yeah, but so what?
But I'm still going to work my tail off. That's the thing, you know? But it just, what I was getting at is I see some of these videos and stuff, and these guys say, yeah, I just wrecked my shoulder trying to do a 750 bench. And I'm thinking, I'd be more impressed if he had laid down there and done a set of five with 405 and not gotten hurt. Then yep. I can get hurt with 750 too, Eric. So can you.
Yep.
I mean, that's no biggie. You just load that sucker and let it crush you, and you got, hey, I got hurt 750.
Yeah.
It's more impressive to me to say I did a solid set, kept my butt on the bench, I didn't arch, no cheating, I got a solid set with whatever, and I walked away and didn't get hurt. You know, I don't care how many surgeries you have to have. If that's happened and you've been training wrong, your goal is misaligned. You know, you're in the gym for the wrong reason. If you're in the gym to show off and put other people down, then you don't have the fire. If you're in the gym to make yourself better, improve yourself, and get stronger and tweak your form to where you can do a lift smooth. Because Saturday, I asked this guy that was with me, I said, did that look as bad as it felt? And he said, it was smooth, man. It was a smooth lift. Well, that lift I put on Facebook, that 435.
Yeah.
I said, did that look as horrible as it felt? And he said, it was a perfect lift. And I said, well, I'm glad it looked good because I was dying inside.
Yeah, I was dead. Yep. But sometimes the things you think that don't go well, go well.
That's right. And that comes from practice. You know, your form and your technique is the part, I think, and that comes from just repetitive work. And that's the part of lifting that a lot of people don't like. They want to come in the gym. They're all fired up. Yeah, I want to do this. I want to get strong. I want to be big. I want to do whatever. I want to, you know, deadlift 500 pounds. I say, okay, then convince yourself and accept the fact that this is going to be a process. You're not going to come in here in 2 months and pull 500 pounds. It's a process. It takes years, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what kills most people's fire in a hurry. It's like somebody dumping a bucket of water on a campfire. All of a sudden, you mean you got to work? Well, yeah.
Well, not only that, it's just like instant gratification world we live. Yeah. And, you know, who are you to tell me that I've got to work hard?
Right.
Well, you know something, lifting is work ethic. If you don't have a work ethic, don't bother.
That's right.
You know what it is, though, Carmen, too? It's this. And I've seen it so many times, and it's not everybody, but there's a lot of trainers out there that be more than willing to take your money, make it interesting long enough where they can get enough money off you, whatever their goal is. And then you know what? You fall by the wayside, tough shit. You know, it doesn't matter. And most people really, you know, I think most people are inherently lazy, and they want somebody to carry the water for them. Well, maybe some will, but I'll tell you what, I need money, but I won't take your money if that's what you want.
Yeah.
Because I have a reputation, and I have to look in the mirror at myself and say, you know what? Am I happy at taking this $50 from this person when I've done nothing for them? They're going to have to leave because I'm not going to live that type of life where, you know, you'll do anything for a dollar. I mean, that's not going to get you anywhere. And eventually it's going to get you snuffed out totally. And for anybody that loves this lifestyle, for anybody that wants to do it to the day they can't do it anymore, that's not what I want to face. So, you know, The whole thing is this. This is what I say about anybody successful doing this stuff. Now, you're 71, and you've been doing it since a teenager. You have to have a drive, a mental tenacity in you that is second to none, because you and I both know, I'm sure if we thought enough about this and had enough bad workouts in a row, and maybe we had some outside interference, who knows? We might just say, you know what? Time to hang it up. Don't have it anymore. Now, here's the most critical thing in your life that's going to happen to you. Because if you're truly, truly into physical culture, and this is our lifestyle, this isn't a hobby, as I tell people. Right. Here's what I'll tell you. There's going to come a point, might not be the next day, might not be a week, it might not be 6 months, but maybe a year from now, suddenly something goes off in you again and says, you know what? I want to train again. I miss it. I love it. I don't know why I did what I did, but I need to come back and start again. See, when you hear talk like that, even when the worst of times happen to you, and maybe you do drop out. I know friends of mine that have come back. They were never as good as they were back then, but at least they're still doing something. That can only be a plus in your life, but I do feel once you drop out, you lose that edge. You lose an edge that even if you come back, it's going to be very hard to get back to that point. Yeah. And if you do, be ready to suffer an awful lot of pain with it, because
I tell my people,
yeah,
is that okay? You came in here, obviously you saw a need that you wanted to address, okay? And I am more than willing and very, very happy to help you. So let's set a deal up where you come 3 times a week.
Yep.
Okay. You develop a habit. You come 3 times a week and we work out. Saturday's part one of those 3 days. We work out. We have a good time. Everybody's happy. Everybody gets stronger and everybody's having a good time. That habit has been developed. If, and it's a big if, you decide I'm not going today, for whatever reason. And sometimes stuff happens, you know, family.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But if it becomes a regular thing, then you've developed a new habit of not going. And so and every time you don't go, your mind is telling you, man, when I go back, I'm going to hurt like hell.
Yeah.
And so that says, well, then don't go back. And that every time you say, I'm not going back, an ember from that fire is taken away, and the fire is dying, and the fire is dying, and the fire is dying until the fire is totally dead and there's no chance of rekindling it. People look at me and they say, how do you go out every day? I go out 6 days a week, and I've got a routine. You know, I bench 2 days, I squat 2 days, and I do a dumbbell work for my back and shoulders and arms 1 day, and then Saturday we deadlift.
Sure.
And I go out every day, and they say, why do you do that? And I said, because I know me. I can't eat one donut, Eric. I've got to eat the whole friggin' box.
Yep, I know the feeling.
I know me. If I miss a day, I will miss 2 days.
Yep.
If I miss 2 days, I will miss the week. And when I do get back, at my age, I'll be so damn sore, I can't fathom that. So it's better if I go out and do a little bit every day to keep the habit alive,
yep,
keep the fire stoked. It may not be a blazing inferno, but it's still got flame. So when I do amp it up and throw that big log on there, it goes and I'm ready to rock. And it's just a question of how bad you want to keep the fire going. Do you want just to smolder? Do you want a campfire, or do you want a homecoming bonfire? If you want a homecoming bonfire, you better accept the fact you're going to have to commit 100% of your attitude, your effort, and that whatever amount of time it takes for you to do what you want to do in the gym. Now, I'm not saying you got to live in the damn gym, because nobody can do that. You got to work. You got to be social. You got to have life, you know. But if you can also allot that hour or 2 hours a day, 3 days a week, who can't do that? If you're physically able, it's just if you say I can't do it, then you don't want it bad enough. How bad do you want it? It comes down that fire business.
Yeah.
How bad do you want it? Do you want it bad enough to hurt a little bit in the workout? And you know, coming up on deadlift, we do the pyramid. We get up near the top end. We got our set of two and our set of one. Okay, the weight's heavy. Do you want this bad enough to step up there and do it, or are you just saying I want to do it? You know, and there's a difference, because everybody wants to do it, but the difference maker is you step up and you put yourself in harm's way and you do it, you know, and I just, that's just the way I am. I was taught coming up, you know, and I hope I don't get you in trouble here, but I was taught coming up, don't half-ass anything.
No, you're not going to get me in trouble.
If you're going to half-ass it, quit.
Yeah.
The old man only accepted whole-ass.
Yeah. Or a kick in the ass, either one.
Yeah. And if you half-assed it, your other half got a boot, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. But you know something? This is what I wanted to ask you, because I've been, since we've been talking about this, I've been going back and forth. Fire in your belly, do you think that for some people it's automatic, or do you think it can be taught?
I think it can be taught.
You do, okay. All right.
Because you get a brand new rookie, brand new, 14-year-old girl.
Yep.
Her daughter, her mom was a former student.
Right.
She came in, and because mom was working out, she came in with her mama, and she watched. And when they left, mom contacted me and said, Z was just so impressed. She wants to start. And I said, that's cool. I'll be glad to help. You know, so we got her started. We started low. We started easy. And she was kind of, well, geez, I don't know. And I said, hey, women can do this sport.
Yeah.
You know, just because you're a lady doesn't mean you can do it. I've got a 57-year-old grandma here, you know, that's tearing up the place. You can do this. Each workout, she got better. It got easier. Her form improved. She got better at her lifting. The weight went up. And now she is just a raging bonfire.
Yep.
And so I think in that case, that was taught. And I think, again, and I'm not saying this for accolades, I think it's she was exposed properly. She was led along slowly. She wasn't just thrown in the deep end and say, there's 200 pounds, let's pick it up.
Yeah.
But I did, I have a short 30-pound bar, Olympic bar, and I've got a couple of 10-pound rubber plates. So it was 50 pounds, and I said, here you go. Let's work with this. And when I see that your form is clean to where you can lift without any potential of getting tweaked, then we'll start adding weight. And her mom, you know, of course, her mom was in my class when she was in sixth grade, and she said, listen to him because he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And the little girl did. And now she's one of my best lifters, and she is a thorn in my side because she's all the time, I want more weight, I want more weight. And I said, see, you weigh 92 pounds, for crying out loud. You're lifting 150. Be happy with that, and we'll take it baby steps, you know. As a coach, you have to know your people. You have to know their ability. And she's got capability, but I also am aware that her body is still growing. Her growth plates are still growing, and I don't want to put stress on her that's going to cause her problems down the road, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I think that fire can be taught. I think in my case, it was inbred. I had this desire to prove to some people and to myself that I'm capable, you know, which is another, and I started lifting, and I had the same conversation yesterday with this gentleman. He said, why did you go in the Marine Corps? And I said, to be honest with you, when I was 10 years old, I saw the movie with Jack Webb called D.I.
Yep.
And I told myself, I'm going to become a Marine. And right from that moment on, that was one of my goals. I started lifting to get stronger and bigger to play sports in high school, and also to get stronger and better able to handle boot camp. And I never did do the sports in high school thing, because by the time I got stronger and bigger, I was a senior, and they weren't taking seniors, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Marine Corps, they said, can you breathe on your own? I said, oh, yeah. And they said, good. We want you then.
Yeah, absolutely. Move. But, you know, that's the thing, though. I think a lot of us are inbred with that. And that's why I asked that, if you thought it could be taught. Now, I think you can to a point. Now, I've had different, I don't want to put it, different experiences with people. Sometimes you get them going good for a while, and they kind of fade away again and fade away. And
I've had that happen to me.
Yeah, and you know what the thing is, too? This is something I know you'll jump right on when I bring this to you. I've got a big thing about atmosphere.
Right.
And I'm not going to let people come in here and stay around here that bring things I don't want here, or they can't change what's going on with them prior to this, or, you know, you get the long faces, or, you know, even when we're getting ready to do stuff, you might have somebody say to you, well, I don't know if I can do this. I get rid of them, and I'll tell you why.
Well, it's a bad apple. And the bad
it's apple a bad, it's a very bad thing. Yeah, it influences everybody.
It's a huge
then talent. You start getting a whole bunch of people like that, and what do you do at that point? And this is the cruelty, they'll say, of what we do, but I got news for you. This will always be my take on all this is this. If you get in the right atmosphere with the right trainer and people around you, nothing can happen but things going up.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
The problem is we live in a world now where nobody basically should be told anything that's going to hurt their feelings, set them back a step or two. You know, tell them that, hey, maybe you're not doing so well here right now. We've got to refocus on some other things, things of that nature. The frailty, like I said in the beginning of the show, which we can't have here. No one's saying that you have to be nasty or unkind. But I feel a trainer, one of their prime responsibilities is to be honest.
Well, yeah.
And if you can't – look it. Not everybody's good at conveying a message. Some people might mean well, but it comes out not well, all right?
Right.
I say this all the time, you know, like we say at the end of the show, where, you know, five words can change everything. Well, five words can wreck you, too.
Oh, sure.
Now I'm not saying you treat everything with kid gloves. That's not what I'm saying at all right? What I'm saying is before you open your damn mouth, especially if you're a trainer and you've been around this person, pick your words wisely, because what you do from that point on is going to influence that individual to either stay with you and keep becoming goal-oriented and successful, or they're going to go the opposite way and leave. And I don't like throwing anybody out of here, turning anybody away. I hate doing that, but you have to look at the whole group as one, and I can't have one malcontent in there, because
right.
The malcontent
holds everybody back,
wrecks everybody. Plus, it makes my life a living hell.
At
because
point now,
yeah,
I've got several people that have been with me for quite some time.
Yep.
And one of the guys, you've heard me talk about him before. His name is Jerry. He's retired Air Force. He's
yep.
in his early 50s. He and his wife have been coming in for quite some time.
Yep.
I'm at the point now that if somebody like that is around, I don't have to do anything, because Jerry and his wife will squash him right there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, that's cool, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm not adverse to doing it, but he reads me like a book, and he says, okay, I'm taking this so you don't have to do it. And I said, but, man, he said, they're going to hold us back, or they're a detriment to what we're trying to accomplish.
Yep.
You know, and so, he's done it for me. He's done it a time or two, and he's also seen people. And like I said earlier, you know, we put our stuff away when we're done, and he'll tell him. He says, "Hey, put that back." You know, he
yeah.
said, "This is a limited space. We can't have crap laying around." And you know, I mean, it's just the way it is. You have to, again, goes back to what you said earlier. Respect the area. And it comes from just basically respecting yourself. If you don't respect yourself, how can you respect anything else?
Yep,
you know,
yep.
And too many people don't, it seems like. And I don't know, I'm open to helping anybody. All I ask, and they said, can we pay you? And I said, yeah, you can. Every time you come in here, you leave it all on the floor. When you leave, everything you had should be left here. You don't take any extra with you. You give me your 100% every time. That's how I get paid.
Yep.
I'm paid by your friendship. I'm paid
yep.
by the fact that you guys are all young enough to be kids and grandkids. But you allow this old fossil to hang out with you guys. And I said, that's my payment. That keeps me young. It keeps me focused. It keeps, to be truly honest with you, it's like throwing gasoline on the fire. Every time they come in, on Saturday, I get fired up because I'm thinking, okay, time to saddle up, old man. You know, what that Johnny Cash song, Don't Take Your Guns to Sound.
Yeah.
Well, we're in town. You better be strapped and ready because they're going to run me out of the room if I don't step up. You know, and I mean, it's all in good nature. They bust on me and I bust on them, but there's an underlying theme there. If we're out here, we're giving up 2 hours on a Saturday morning. By God, it better be worthwhile. And I,
hell yeah.
You know, and so I cannot let them down, you know.
Yeah,
more
no,
put
I
myself down. And the biggest thing, and I've said this to you before, and I tell it to the people there too, my wife comes out on Saturday and keeps a tally book for us so we know what we're doing. So when I post that on the Gym Rats thing, you know, I've got the right information. She keeps that going. And I don't know about you, Eric, but if the base commander's in the room, I'm not going to slack.
Nope. I'm going to look twice as good if the base commander's in there. That's for damn sure.
You know, because I did a meet here about 10 years ago in Oklahoma City. The AAU had the Nationals, and Ricky Crane sponsored it, and I entered it in the Masters division. And at that time, I was still doing full meets because my knees were allowing it. And so I squatted, you know, in the mid-4s, and I went to this meet specifically to set an old guy bench record. And I set the record. I was weighing 198 at that time. I benched 365 at 198, and I was 62 years old. And so we come to the deadlifts, and I asked Ricky, I said, what do I need to pull to win? And he said, if you get at least 5, you've got it locked. So I opened with 505, and I pulled it, and I told the guy, I'm done. And I come and sit down, and the base commander says, is that all you're doing? And I said, what the hell are you talking about? I just set an American record, a national record on the bench, pulled 505. I'm 62 years old. What more do you want? And she said, well, you usually do more. God dang, that's where the fire's from.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know something? That's the whole thing with here. There's certain people that can push your buttons in a good way. They realize that you do have fire. They realize that you love what you do, and they realize that you're an example. And I said that in the beginning, you know, there's always somebody watching you. There is always somebody watching what you're doing, whether it's for good, bad, or in between. All right. But when you've got students around you, when you've got people that are very important in your life, man, you have an obligation and a responsibility to perform like the champion they're used to hearing about or seeing. And anything less to me is it's not a good thing. I mean, it's like dropping out and, you know, what happened? Did somebody snuff your candle out today or what? So
family especially. Real good friends know exactly what button to punch.
Yeah.
And that happens every Saturday out here with me, you know, because I'm 71. I get up and I'm slow moving. And I get out there and I'm loosening up and warming up and stuff. And I usually do some legwork before the group comes. You know, I get some squats out of the way to kind of loosen my knees and hips.
Yep.
And they come in, and I'm stretching out, and they say, well, this is when that starts, you know, are you going to play the age card today? And you're damn right I am.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I do that at least?
And I'm going to play the arthritis card too.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything to make you think I'm an old man who's sandbagging, and then I'm going to just take your head right off.
I always end up, okay. So when you leave, you're going to have to go amongst your young friends and say, this old guy, arthritis, old, crotchety, he handed me my butt today. And I said, who's going to come out ahead, me or you? You know, I win every time, regardless, you know. And it's all in good fun. But what I'm getting at is I know what buttons to punch on them. They know what buttons to punch on me. And my wife certainly knows what buttons to punch with me. We've been together 39 years, known each other 40. And so she knows the words to say, and all she's got to do is look at me, and I say, okay, game's on. I will either die or I'm going to make this lift. She's either going to get the insurance money or I'm going to make this lift. You know?
Yeah, she's going to be rich and that's it. You know, right. But you know what the whole thing is? Oh, there's a thing that's always in your favor. You got home field advantage.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's right. The friend. they say, the friendly confines of Wrigley Field, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, there's a lot to that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, look, the bottom line here with all of this, what we've talked about today is this. Find something you love in life.
That's right.
Don't worry about what the common noise is about it, because don't let that influence you, stop you, dissuade you from doing anything. Find out all the information if you feel you don't have enough to get started, or even if you've started, always research and look at things out there. Yeah. Pick your poison. Be very careful. Execute, you know, because you've made your goal at that point.
Right.
And what you got to do is you just keep working harder and harder at it. It will happen, but it's going to be like everything, okay? Nothing worthwhile is going to happen.
And that's what I tell that to these kids.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
If this was an easy activity, everybody would be doing it. And it's good that you're not happy or you're not satisfied with how much you lifted today, because that means that you're going to come back next week and that fire is going to be burning hotter.
Well, and you said right there,
complacency is the enemy, you know. Well, that was good enough for today. Now, good enough doesn't feed the bulldog, you know. You got to always be just a little bit hungry for the next time, you know.
Yeah.
You come back in and say, okay, we're going to do this today. And it just is, I don't know, I'm crazy. I know I'm nuts at my age to still get wired up like that. But I get the group together in here on Saturday, and I just become a different person, you know. My wife will swear on a stack of Bibles that after the session's over and through the afternoon and evening, I just lay there and whine, you know.
Hey, you know
I
something?
I did it, though, you know.
You earned it.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know something? We all handle whatever we do with the way we handle it. I can tell you right now from yesterday, I'm starting to feel sore all over sitting here talking to you. And I know that when I get off here, I'm going to do certain things to hopefully, relieve a lot of this. It's all part of wanting to do what we do and be the best we can be, because if you don't have that type of commitment, you can't make it with this stuff. This stuff you can't cheat with. You can't get away with halfway in. You know, it's got to be all the way in. Push, push, push. Know when to pull back. Know when to change your routine.
Listen.
Know that, okay, I can't do it tomorrow. I've got to wait two more days.
Listen to your body.
Totally. And that's not, you know, that's not a cliche. You hear it all the time, but let me tell you
it's
something.
Imperative as you get older. You know,
absolutely.
When I was 30, 40 years old, I just get in there and just tear it up. But as the birthday's mounted, and now especially, I've got to take longer to warm up. I've got to use the neoprene sleeves. Sometimes I got to put the liniment on, or both, the liniment and the sleeves, you know. And now that the weather's starting to cool down a little bit, I can see where I'm going to start having to use the liniment. But if you listen to your body, it will perform for you, and it will do the best it can do every time. Now, granted, at 71, I'm not lifting like I did at 40 or 50 or even 60, but I'm still cranking, and I'm happy with what I'm able to do, you know. I always want more. I always want more. It's, you know, when I first started this whole thing back in 1960, there was an article in Strength and Health magazine written by a guy named Earl Leiterman, and he was a old time. You know the name?
Yes, sir.
Okay. He commented in there, he said, you're reading this because you're interested in physical culture. And he said, if you're a new person to the activity, get accustomed to the fact you've just acquired the most greedy mistress you can ever have. What you do, she will say, I want more.
Yep.
And he was right, because I'll pull a big lift like Saturday. I pulled that 435. And I was hurting, and I hobbled off. And I sat down there, and I said, should I try a little bit more?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the human spirit, though. See, there's your fire in the belly, you know. It was like Steve Jack when he was talking about, you know, when he was getting ready to go to Iceland to lift the Húsafell. He said, this is going to be just like a woman. It's going to be more demanding than anything you've ever had. But here's the thing with this stone. it's almost going to be like you're going to come to an understanding and you're going to get to wrap your arms around eternity. And I thought that was one of the most prolific lines I ever heard, because it's like, you know, we do a lot of things, all of us, but do we really understand what it's like, the honor, the privilege to be able to grab an Olympic bar? I don't care whether it is power bar, trap bar, you name it, all right? And you get to pull things with all your might. You get to use your head to your toes. You get all in between. There's just so many things that are going on at one time, and to think that you can succeed and stand up with a heavy deadlift or a heavy press, or
basic human emotion. You have moved a heavy object from point A to point B. And it's just, you know, I set this image. I got several little mind games I play, and one of them is, back in the caveman days, I got to roll the rock in front of the cave at night to prevent the varmints from eating my family.
Absolutely.
And if I don't roll that rock, we're done.
Yep.
Another one I have is, you know, I'm a big fan of mythology in, in the old stories in Beowulf, you know, the wolf.
Sure.
And I'm thinking, okay, the night before he went out to go get Grendel, they all assembled in the hall, and it was clanking of armor and this and that. And I set this image of these warriors getting ready to go to battle. You know, and that's what helps me keep going, man. And I know it's kind of cliche and old school, but I'm an old guy and I'm old school, you know?
Hey, look, every day you get up, it's a new battle.
That's right.
All right? And it's all going to be how you define it to yourself and how you proceed.
Right.
You can take and put your head in a hole and stay like that permanently, or you can take it on. And this is why I stress so much on everything we do, not only about weights and stones, but take the venture of a lifetime. And if you feel you'd like to do something as an entrepreneur, that will teach you so much about you and your life. And every day is going to be good, bad, struggle, explosion, who knows, man. And the whole point of the matter is, it's just like, the problem I see right now is most people don't ever have to be tested anymore. You don't test yourself. You don't have others test you. And the ones that try to test you now, most of it's all BS anyways, because, you know, everybody thinks they can talk any way they want to you, and they think it's funny to be cruel to you, and they think it's funny to disparage you or your name or whoever it is. Let me tell you something. It hasn't been that long ago. You did some of that stuff around my neighborhood.
Yeah. Well,
you have been lucky if they found pieces of you. And I'm not kidding you when I say it. Carmen and I have talked to it before. I used to get in a lot of crap with older guys because I was a wise guy, and I was never afraid of getting beat up. And one thing about getting beat up, you learn how to land punches, because I never got in a fight that I didn't land something good, at least on somebody.
Right.
And I'm talking a 12, 13-year-old kid fighting 19-year-olds that were much bigger than me. And I asked for it 9 times out of 10, but I was one of those kids, and maybe it was due to who knows what, but I was a guy that wouldn't run, wasn't afraid to get beat up and have a black eye or whatever, and just kept rolling. Now, the weights were one of the reasons why, besides Jimmy and the Incredible Hulk, was I said, you know, my father showed me how to hit, box.
Yeah.
I said, how am I going to get stronger, man? Yeah. And you know what? The weights happened. You know, it was weird. Right out of the blue, my father's talking to my aunt, and they lived in Connecticut, and I don't know how it got going, and my father said, well, you know, Eric wants to start lifting weights. And my dad was a guy that had been burned so many times by us, we were all hyper as hell on something, would use it for a little while, and that'd be the end of it. And that would piss him off to no end. So he said like this, he goes, I'm not buying him a weight set. And so my Uncle Willie said, well, I've got his cousin's weight set, they're sand, and I've got a wooden bench, because he was a master carpenter wood shop guy. That's what he taught in high school. Yeah. We went over there, had lunch, came home. I was happy as hell, and that's where it all started,
man. You've got a story similar to that, you know?
Yep.
I mean, in order to get to that point, though, there's got to be a fire that's been lit, and is burning to get you to do that, because there's some similarities with my story too, because I had tried several different things and they had all petered out. And when I asked my parents, you know, would you buy me this set of weight, this Big 12 special? And it back in 1960, it was a 200-pound set and it was about $65, you know.
Wow.
And it was all metal, all steel. Yep. And they said, that's a lot of money. And I said, yeah, but I really want to do this. Well, you really wanted to do these other things.
Yep.
You know, and I said, yeah, but I'm not quitting this, I promise you. And here we are 57 years later.
And they obviously believed in you enough to do it. And, you know, thank God they did, because they gave you your start to where you are right now. And
it was a life-changing event for me.
Totally. And it was the same thing here. If you could have seen, I don't know, this was a little bit before Jubenville closed. My father had no idea. We said we were going to put some stuff down the cellar, and he was okay with it. I thought he was going to kill us, man. We came home with a U-Haul truck, and it was filled. And I never seen him so mad at me, man. But he let us go down there, and three times a week, me and my buddies and my brothers, we'd be down there training. We had the best times, you know, as much as I love it right now, what I do here, that they were some really good times, because it was a lot of experimenting, a lot of still going to the why, so, you know, it was a very good time for me.
You not only find out about yourself physically with this sport, but you also find out a lot about yourself mentally and all of that, you know, because you really have to wrap your head around the fact that you're going to try to lift something that most people will just walk by.
Right. Not made to lift either.
That's right.
Carmen.
That's right. Yeah. You know, and it's just, okay, why do you want to do that? Because I can. You know?
Yeah.
Again, I've seen this picture, and it shows this guy just busting his hump working out, you know, and he says, I lift heavy stuff every day so I can get stronger, so I can go ahead and lift even heavier stuff the next day. You know,
it just
never stops, man.
And I'll tell you one thing, 2-3 years down the road, not only did I have a lot more discipline, because by then I was probably around 15.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I didn't get my ass kicked too much after that.
That's amazing.
and I think what it was, you know, I wasn't afraid of anything at that point, and older guys weren't going to land the shots on me. They were, and I could take a bigger shot to the body. Now, I didn't do it for anything other than to get big and strong. My mission wasn't to go out and fight people.
Right.
But you know what? A good scuffle every now and then didn't hurt either. And you start getting your own reputation a little bit at that point. You know how guys are, kids, everything, you know. You don't have to be a bully, but it's nice that people know that, hey, you know, I don't think I'm going to screw around with Eric too much anymore, because it might not be a good outcome. I think it's good like that, and I think you need to become a protector for your brothers and sisters, and obviously my sister, my brother, and my other brother, Mark, John, and my sister Ann. They all took my sister's more, obviously, martial arts, but the other two guys have weightlifted, followed right in my steps, and are still doing it. So see what it did?
Yeah.
It caused a chain reaction, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't see any of us ever quitting. It's just like we all have kind of the same degree of drive, man, and it's a drive that – you know, that it's just a drive that's not going
to
go away unless it's taken away from me. You know, like you, the last place I'm going to end up is in a hospital with a drool cup. That's not going to happen for me. I'm going to go down on the platform or with a stone, and that's going to be the end.
Never surrender.
Yeah, never. Never, never, never. Hey, Carmen, why don't you give out, you know, summarize anything you want, anything you want to give out. I'll give my info, and we'll get ready for October.
Okay,
if you would,
I will do that. Thank you again for having me.
Yes, sir.
This is a pleasure. You have no idea what it does for an old man's ego to be able to sit here and consider myself equal to some of the names that you throw around. I will say this. If you want to see some of my lifts, there's several sites on Facebook. Powerlifting is one of them. Strong and Over 40, Strong and Over 60, Strength Archaeology. I just, you know, I post lifts occasionally on there. And if you could, you watch and you're interested, send me a message and something and we can visit that way. And I, again, Eric, thank you so much for this opportunity.
No problem.
I look forward to it every month. I'm a little nervous going into it, but once we start flapping my lip, I'm good, you know?
You're fine, man. I've got no problem. You flow, like I said to you before we came on. It seems to be happening with everything now. You know, we've been doing this for a while with a lot of people, and, you know, it just works well. And I'm going to tell everybody, 2017 is not far away, it is going to be exciting as hell around here. You wait and see.
My wife and I were talking about that yesterday. She said she's getting ready, you know, the music for the Christmas program at church.
Absolutely.
And I said, she said, well, we got time. And I said, no, October is this next weekend.
And, can you believe that?
Yeah, and when October hits, it rolls, you know.
Yep. Well, the good thing about the cold, you got good soup, making good pies.
Good comfort food comes.
Oh, yeah, it's, you know, roast beef, you know, you got the macaroni, of course, but, you know, there's a lot of, I love stew this time of year, too, man. You know, nice stew meat with, you know, some taters and some carrots and some, you know, baby onions thrown in there. Let me tell you, that's the food of champions that builds that big super body.
Right.
You got everything, Carmen?
I'm good, brother. Let me know after we go off when you want to do this again.
We will do it. This is Motivation Muscle. This is streaming radio 24/7. Go out to motivationandmuscle.com. Download the free ebooks. They are the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. And obviously our 30-day course on how to get big and powerful. And as I said before, our two products that were chargeable right now, we are giving them away. And all you got to do is put your email address in there, and you're going to get four of the finest things out there. As I said, we do everything in-house, and no one writes our content. Also, don't forget to go out to motivationandmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out, like I said in the beginning, listen to any of the shows Carmen and I have done. You're listening, you're really getting gold nuggets here. And, I mean, I've named some people, but I just put up Brittany Diamond this morning. Wait to hear that interview I did with her. This girl is, I believe, I want to say 22 or 24. She deadlifts 450 already. She's been in the Arnold a few times already. She is really, really good. Check out that show. Also, you know, we got Dr. Wong, we got Bill Hinburn, Adam T. Glass, we got Mackenzie Bennett, John Bruni, Scott Shetler. We can go on and on and on. Powell Waduto, Dr. Jeffrey Smith, James Fuller. I mean, if you've seen any of the stuff he's been doing out on Facebook, it is unbelievable. And we are going to try to get him down to my house before the end of the year because he lives in Maine, so he's about 5 hours from me. But he wants to come down because I want to work with him a little bit with the Thomas Inch dumbbell. I don't have a lot of time right now, but I'd like to start messing around with that again. I have one here. Eventually, maybe we'll pick it up, put it on the shoulder, and press it. But right now with Iceland and Scotland and everything else looming, when Martin was talking about going on a tour with me and whoever we might, if we announce we're going to do a big stone tour, you know, we're talking maybe going to Wales even too, and that's not even counting Spain. So I, you know, time's limited. How much horsepower am I going to have to do more and more things? Well, we'll see. You never know. And, you know, that's what we talked about, the fire in the belly. Also too, if there's a show you'd like Carmen and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. Also, don't forget to go out to the site, look at everything there, leave comments. No problem at all. If there's a show you'd like he and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. And I'll leave you with these five things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to offer words of inspiration. As I said during the show, five words can change it all for you. If you don't believe me, try it. I'm telling you right now. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. You know, if you're going to lift tonight, bend it, break it, twist it, turn it, press it, pull it, squat it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as a great Hoos of Steel stone crusher says in Blood Red, domination, we are domination. We clear cut our own path. We don't follow anyone's. And as I always say, no one will ever clip our balls. And remember, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. And the biggest thing is, as Russell Fur said, when he listens to our show, there's testosterone dripping through his speakers. Now, Russell's been listening to Eminem since day one, and he is also on the show. He's a great guy. We'll say that for the next 30 years, brother, and I appreciate that. I'll leave you with a few things before Carmen and I sign off for the day. As I said during the show, Frank Klein, who was probably the greatest college professor I ever had, all business classes, repetition, repetition, repetition. Never forget that with anything you do. As my father said, be a leader, not a follower. And as John Ridge, who I talked to about during the show, great guy. I miss Fridays with him like you would not believe. I mean, it's been 2 years. It seems like eternity since I've talked to him. Keep smiling. And I mean those words when I say it. Keep smiling. Real important. Also, too, remember this. No one, and I mean no one, is ever going to make you feel like you're inadequate other than yourself. Be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. And most of all, tell 100 of your friends, because we're not going to knock on the door. We are going to kick it in. We want you to be in our family. Join us. Carmen, super show. Thank you for being on, sir.
Thank you very much. And remember, every day is a good day to work out.
Yes, sir, it is. And I'm a firm believer in that. So, for Carmen Caputo, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. We will have Carmen on in October. But you know what? Go out and make your own way. Make your own greatness, because I'm telling you, I don't care what anybody's told you. Contrary to that, we all believe in you. Welcome to our family, and we'll talk to you soon, and we'll talk to Carmen in October of this year. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.